Jan Butler will now come and share our morning gospel reading.
I'm reading from Luke 1, 26 through 45. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
And then Mary sang a song. We call it the Magnificat. Please join me in reading that song responsively as it's printed in your bulletin. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. From this day all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is on those who fear God from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit. God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has come to the aid of Israel, the chosen servant, remembering the promise of mercy. The promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary got pregnant. That's the bottom line. Young, still living at home with her family, engaged to Joseph, and she got pregnant. Or in that wonderful language of Matthew's gospel, she was found to be with child. At the heart of our Christian faith is this very earthy, physical story. Somehow, with my focus on embodied spirituality during my sabbatical and our focus together at the church retreat, And now during Advent, with our Advent reflection guide on embodied light, I am struck much more this year with the embodied physical facts of this story. This is a story about a pregnancy. Two pregnancies, really. Elizabeth, who was too old, and Mary, who was too young. Neither should have been pregnant, but they both were. Having morning sickness, feeling dizzy and lightheaded, having food cravings, all those physical realities of pregnancies happen to both of them. Our faith is incarnational, embodied. Although it seems like the church has spent much of the last 2,000 years trying to get as far as possible from the embodied nature of this story, the church fathers, yes, fathers, have tried to get as far as possible from this story's earthly physical claims. They have sanitized it, spiritualized it, desexualized it in every way possible, have they not? But at the center of our Christian faith is this claim that God, the creator of the universe, the energy and force that holds all things together, the ground of being, the great I am, the love at the heart of all relationships, God chose human beings, human bodies, human lives to reveal God in the world. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Sarah and Hagar, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. There were some pretty important pregnancy stories in those stories too, weren't there? The God of the Bible seems to love pregnancies, births, babies, families of all sizes and varieties. All those wonderful, sometimes faithful, sometimes failing human beings of the Bible and of faith ever since. God loves them. God loves people. God loves us, human beings, in all our realities of being human, in these fearfully and wonderfully made bodies, in the beauty and strength of our bodies, and the sickness and frailties of our bodies. Even the parts of ourselves and of our bodies that we don't love at all, God still loves. Our faith dares to claim that God chose to join us, to become one of us, to have a body just like us. That God chose this young woman to be pregnant with a special child, to have this baby as somehow a unique expression of God's love and delight in all of us. God chose to risk divine revelation on an unwed teenage mother from Galilee and her unborn child, tiny and growing in the darkness of her womb. What was God thinking? What was God doing? Mary got pregnant, and it wasn't Joseph's child. I have no interest in debating with anyone whether she was a virgin or not. Clearly, socially, in that place and time, she should have been. And if she wasn't, there was a big problem for her, for her family, for Joseph. Either way, there was a problem because she was pregnant. Luke tells us of this encounter between Mary and Gabriel. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you," Gabriel said, and Mary was greatly troubled at these words. I'll bet she was. The angel Gabriel shows up and tells you you're highly favored and God's with you. What does that mean exactly? And the angel goes on to say, "Don't be afraid, Mary." Have you ever noticed how often angels say "don't be afraid" in the Bible? As I said to the kids, apparently seeing an angel can be a pretty frightening experience. Not the cute little cherubs, not at all. An angel is a messenger from God, overwhelming, awe-inspiring. "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, which mean God saves. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will not end. Mary was a good Jewish girl, and she knew what those words meant. The angel was telling her she was going to have a son who was going to be the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the one to restore the kingdom of David, the one they had all been looking for and waiting for and hoping for. She responded with the obvious question, how can this be since I haven't been with a man? And Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit's going to take care of that. And then goes on to tell her that her cousin Elizabeth in her old age is also pregnant. For nothing, Gabriel says, is impossible with God. And then Mary's answer, I am God's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. Mary's let it be, the same language of God in Genesis 1, let there be light, let there be earth, let there be creation. Mary joins in God's new creation. Mary agrees. Mary consents. I'm absolutely sure Mary had a choice because God does not coerce us. We have free will. And Mary chose to say yes to God's plan for her to be pregnant and have this child. But then what? What was she to do? What would her family do? What would Joseph do? Yesterday, I stumbled across a TV show on Netflix called Jane the Virgin. It's a 21st century version of the total unplanned pregnancy. It's pretty funny. I only saw the first episode. I can't recommend the whole series because I don't know where it goes. But in the first episode, Jane, who has always been carefully abstinent, not wanting to end up like her mother, who was accidentally pregnant at 16, Jane, who's working hard to get her teaching degree and finishing up college, working her way through, in love with a great guy, about to get engaged, and her OBGYN doctor accidentally inseminates her when she was supposed to get the pap smear. Of course, this is fiction. Surely we hope this could not really happen. But that first episode certainly captures something of the emotions, the reactions. One of the best moments is when she gets the pregnancy test and because she went to a doctor thinking something's wrong with her when she starts feeling weird. She didn't think she was pregnant. And the doctor walks in and said, well, your urine sample shakes it clear. You're pregnant. And Jane and her mom burst out laughing. There's no way I'm pregnant. Disbelief, doubt, fear, and then from her almost-to-be fiancé, mistrust, betrayal, anger, confusion, uncertainty, hope. What must Mary have felt, and how did the others react? Did anyone believe her story about Gabriel? All that we know is that Mary got out of town. Wise move, perhaps. Headed south to find her cousin Elizabeth in Judah. Gabriel had told her that Elizabeth was pregnant too, in her old age. So Mary went to find the only person who might sort of understand what she was going through. And when she walked through the door and Elizabeth's baby heard her voice, he jumped for joy in her womb. At 6 months, her baby John was big enough to be kicking. And Elizabeth started praising God and praising and blessing Mary. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why am I favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your voice, my baby jumped for joy. Blessed is she who believed what the Lord said would be accomplished. She called Mary's baby her Lord. She recognized that he was from God, and she realized what faith it had taken for Mary to say yes, to believe the angel. Of course, Elizabeth was living with Zechariah, who had not believed Gabriel when Gabriel told him they were going to get pregnant, and Zechariah had not been able to say a word for the last 6 months. So Elizabeth knew something about the challenges and the consequences of not believing Gabriel. She also knew, as she patted her growing body, that nothing was impossible with God. But of course, Elizabeth at least was married. Her shame had been all those years of not being able to get pregnant. And being pregnant in your old age, well, people might laugh a little, but they were also delighted, and they might have remembered and talked about Abraham and Sarah. Whereas for Mary, the public shame was in being pregnant and having to say yes and take on all those who would never understand and never believe. So Elizabeth blessed Mary and her faith and her courage, and she blessed her baby, believing that he would be her Lord. Two pregnant women at the heart of our faith story. Their wombs, the dark spaces where God's creative plans were happening. Their bodies, the sanctuaries, holding and nurturing those tiny babies who would be John the Baptist and Jesus. Their faith, their love, the cradles in which those babies would be formed. And their stories, blessing, inspiring us. God is at work in us too, in our humanness, in our bodies. The Spirit is always being born again, always seeking to be embodied in our lives and in our faith. After I finished writing those words last night as I was going to bed, I picked up the Advent Reflection Book and found this little postscript from Melissa Tidwell. Living a life of faith is, in a sense, being pregnant, agreeing to be a vessel for the Spirit, a partner in the creation of new life. Our spiritual pregnancy might cause us to glow with well-being, but it might also cause us to suffer as we come to grips with the things our faith asks of us that are hard, messy, even risky. And it can be uncomfortably public. It will not be fun all the time. As we are stretched and filled and emptied by the power of the Spirit, our call is to be faithful to the particular arc manifest in the pregnancy of our lives, our belief, to hope and to pray that we will have the courage to face our pregnancy's demands, and a heart strong enough to bear the love we carry.